Right. Well, just going back over this past week, there's some interesting developments, I suppose, running through both economic data and some of the changes which are occurring in China. But starting just with the economic data, after the Fed cut 50 basis points the week before, and they brought down their interest rate forecast for much of the rest of the year, you'd think that there's some softness in the U.S. economy that they're trying to address. But the data that's come out over this past week is actually pretty firm for the most part, other than perhaps the manufacturing sector. So, very early in the week, we had the old-style September Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. That came down to 47 from 47.9. That is below the 50 expansion contraction marker. But in the past, the manufacturing PMI has had to get down to around 43, 44 for a few months before it starts to herald anything like recession. And set against that, the services sector PMI, the old-style PMI, is way up there in the mid-50s. So it was 55.7 going back to the month of August. The latest one came in at 55.4. That's normally a very strong expansion. And that's in the part of the economy which is driving a lot of the employment gains and growth in general. We had consumer confidence, consumer sentiment indicators came out. The consumer confidence index was a bit softer. It went down to 98.7 from 105.6. So that's actually quite a softening. But at the end of the week, the September consumer sentiment survey, for the latest third of their survey, because we already had the preliminary result, it came in at 69. It was expected to stay at 69. It went up to 70.1. So that one's actually looking rather firmer. When we look at the labour market, we had the initial jobless claims for the most recent week. This came down again to 218,000 from 222,000. That's pointing towards still pretty tight labour market conditions. We also had a revised Q2 GDP. No real revision running through that. It's up at 3%, where it was on the last reading we had. Still pretty strong, but the quarter before was revised up from 1.4 to 1.6. So the backwards revision running through GDP is actually quite firm. And right at the leading edge, things like pending home sales, we had August pending home sales, they were up 0.6% for the most recent month. Also, right towards the end of the week, we had the August core personal consumption expenditure deflator. This is the alternative to the CPI, one that's preferred by the Fed, if anything. Whilst it was up only 0.1% month on month, that was enough to lift the annual rate very slightly to 2.7% from 2.6%. So it's getting sticky trying to get inflation down towards the Fed's 2% target as well. So if you looked at the data in isolation from last week, you'd have to say, well, the Fed funds rate was very high when they had it sitting at 5.5%, but there's no way they can bring it down particularly quickly. They've still got, the U.S. economy looks as if it's growing pretty well. And to add to that, we have things like the Atlanta Fed there, what they call their NOW index for GDP growth running through the third quarter. That's sitting now at 3.1%, so it's suggesting that there's been no slowing running into the third quarter. So it's still running pretty strongly as far as the US is concerned. Of course, this is great stuff. If you've got the Fed bringing interest rates down into an economy which is still growing pretty well, until you get the nasty inflation effect off the back of that, that's a long way down the track, going to late next year, going into perhaps 2026, where the Fed says, whoops, we shouldn't have been easing the way we have. It's pretty good conditions as far as many companies are concerned. US this week, we get the ISM manufacturing PMI and services sector PMI coming out. The manufacturing PMI comes out tomorrow night, and the ISM non-manufacturing PMI comes out on Thursday. And they're likely to show a similar sort of position to the older style PMIs. The ISM PMI was at 47.2. Going back to August, it's expected actually to lift a little bit to 47.6. And the ISM non-manufacturing PMI, 51.5, expected to lift slightly to 51.6. So those looking relatively firm. Key data of the week, though, non-farm payrolls coming up right at the end of the week. We've also got Jerome Powell speaking through the course of the week as well. So obviously there'll be some focus on that. But the non-farm payrolls, at this stage, the market's looking for 144,000. They're up 142,000 going back the month before. And the unemployment rate, which going back a month ago actually came down one notch to 4.2% from 4.3%, sitting on that 4.2%. Also, we get average hourly earnings. And going back last month, we actually got a lift in the annual rate on that from 3.6 to 3.8. It's probably going to hold around that 3.8. For the month of September. Now, you know, when you look at that, every single measure of inflation in the US, other than some of the underlyings, which are just a bit above 3, but most of them are in the mid-2s. So you've got average hourly earnings, which are running a full percentage point above where we're seeing most inflation rates at the moment. So that, you know, that's giving pretty good real income growth in the US too. Moving to China, and right at the end of last week, we had some moves towards a stimulus package. Been waiting a long time to see whether anything was going to happen with stimulus. Some of it came through the People's Bank of China, and they made several moves. They adjusted all of their official interest rates, most of them down by 20 basis points. They also reduced the reserve ratio requirement for banks by 50 basis points, so that came down to 9.5% that have to be held in reserves against 10 going back before. We had an announcement that there was going to be an issue of 2 trillion yuan of special stimulus bonds. That's roughly around about $284 billion US worth of special stimulus bonds. And that they're going to be applied. We haven't got full detail on this yet to trying to underpin the issues which are running through the property sector at the moment. In amongst that, we've had some indication that the two biggest cities in, or two of the big cities in China, Shanghai and Shenzhen, are going to be lifting some of the restrictions on home ownership, which they think they wouldn't have any, but you know, they have. And so you know, they will be removed. And there's some talk that there will be some payments for families who've got more than 2 children where we'll get some of those stimulus bond funds going towards that. So it does look like the beginnings of a reasonable stimulus package, but we haven't got much detail around it. And we're hoping to see that fairly soon because this week, China goes in for various holidays and for most of the week. So we won't get if we get past today, we won't sort of get too much more detail on that. But it's been enough to really make people think, well, maybe the growth rate can be a bit better for this year, and we might have rather better demand for certain key commodities. And so you saw it reflected here, where at the end of last week, there was a distinct shift in the equity market sentiment towards going back towards the resource stocks and funding it out of the banks largely. So I saw a bit of a movement running through asset classes here on the back of that announcement that came from China last week. Through the course of this week, we'll get data, but it's going to be ignored because it's purchasing managers' indices. The surveys would have already been taken before the stimulus package was announced. And so, for example, today we get the September Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index comes out, and it's expected to lift slightly to 49.4 from 49.1. The non-manufacturing PMI expected to be around 50.4 from 50.3. And for the cakes in surveys as well, the interesting one there was last month, the cakes in manufacturing PMI was a little bit above 50. So that was slightly in expansion territory at 50.4. That's expected to come in around about 50.5. And the services sector PMI probably steady around about 51.6. So all of those numbers sort of coming out through the course of today. Moving to Australia. And, of course, last week we had the Reserve Bank decision. No change. So we're still there at 4.35%. We've still got indications after from the press conference afterwards that they'll be holding that 4.35% through the remainder of this year, that there's not much opportunity to cut rates. But something that did come out was in the previous two meetings, there was some discussion about whether they should have actually hiked rates further. There was none of that discussion at the most recent meeting, so they've moved away from any discussion that they might need to push rates any higher. We had, straight after the Reserve Bank meeting, the August CPI came out. And this came down as expected, largely because of a year-on-year 17% reduction in electricity prices. Now, that's all to do with the rebates that went in. So the annual August CPI came down to 2.7% year-on-year from 3.5%. Ostensibly, that's inside the Reserve Bank's target. But the Reserve Bank has responded to that, saying, look, we know we've got a temporary dip inside the target. It's going to go straight back out of it again. And you can see that with the trim mean. The trim mean that came out for the August CPI, it came down, but to 3.4% from 3.8%. And so we've still got inflation running above where the Reserve Bank would like. Having said that, the RBA is sort of sitting alone at the moment because many other central banks have, whilst they're not down to their targets for inflation, they've shifted their focus towards more stimulating growth. For example, like the Fed, the ECB at this most recent meeting, we had the Swiss National Bank last week, which cut rates as well, and are focusing less on their inflation target. My way of looking at some of this is that we are going to see a rekindling of inflation at some point down the track. It's about 18 months down the track to 2 years. But you've got central banks which are cutting rates into economies which are not running exactly that softly. There is some risk with what's happening in the rest of the world. Reserve Bank's going to stand out against that. Some of the consequences of that we're going to get some work being done to tighten policy here from the currency. It's already started, I think, with the Australian dollar being rather firmer against most currencies as we march ahead. The stimulus package in China adding to that when it came through at the end of last week too, with its potential effect on commodity prices too. Moving into Australia this week, and we get a few numbers coming out this week. We've got today private sector credit. That has been growing with lift in housing credit. So it was up 0.5% last month, expect to be up another 0.5% this month. It's annualising at over 6% year on year. So we have got credit growing, much of it going towards housing. On Tuesday, tomorrow, we get both August resale sales and August home building approvals. Retail sales were flat going back to July. There's an expectation they might rise, say, about 0.4% for the most recent month, so a little bit of an improvement there. We get August home building approvals coming out tomorrow as well. They're expected to come down because they had a big jump last month by 10.4% month on month. Whilst there's probably a little bit of a lift starting to occur through home building approvals, it's going to be very, very bumpy month to month, so it'd be surprising if we got another rise on top of that 10.4% increase going back the month before. Thursday, we get August trade. The trade surplus improved to $6 billion surplus going back last month. If anything, that was a bit too much of an improvement. We're going to get a settling back to about $5.5 billion surplus for that this week. And also on Thursday, we get the latest housing finance data. Housing finance has been running pretty strongly. It was up 2.7% last month in total. Much of that led actually by investment housing. And expect to see another gain running through housing finance. It's also something that the Reserve Bank's starting to talk about as one of the restraints on when they can lower interest rates. They're starting to talk about how they can't afford to lift demand for housing any further. And they recognise that if they start to lower interest rates, that could throw fuel on the housing fire and could continue to lift things. So it's one of those restraints which is there on the Reserve Bank and when it can bring interest rates down too. Moving to Europe, and you know, here we get a more clear sign of the softness in parts of the economy relative to services. You know, we had the September manufacturing purchasing managers index came out. This fell to 44.8 from 45.8. 44.8, that's a soft reading. You know, that if you continue to get 44s over the next few months, that would be a sign that you know, that part of the economy anyway is really in recession. The services sector PMI still holding out just. So the services sector PMI did come down, though, to 50.5 from 52.9. Now, part of the reason for that is weather effects. We had very severe flooding through much of eastern running into southern Europe. So even with the tourist trade running hot, you know, that really starts to dent things when you get those sorts of weather effects affecting large parts. So just a bit of a pressure point there starting to build. And similarly, the September Business and Consumer Confidence Survey, that came back to 96.2 from 96.6 for the most recent monthly reading. This week in Europe, we'll get the preliminary CPI comes out. It looks as if they will dip just below the 2% level for the year-on-year on the headline CPI. It'll come in at 1.9% from 2.2%, we think, the month before. The core CPI, though, not as good. So it'll come down, but to 2.7% year-on-year from 2.8. So it's still holding up a little bit higher. The ECB is concerned that you know, we are going to get some bounce off these levels as we go a little bit further down the track. But it's not enough really to restrain them from easing monetary conditions, which they've done twice now, although not every single meeting. They tend to miss a meeting before they make further moves. One of the reasons for that, still a tight labour market. We get the August unemployment rate comes out this week, and it looks as if it's still going to sit at 6.4%. Now, that sounds high by our standards, but it's a low unemployment rate by European standards. And if it is at 6.4%, that's sitting on the lowest unemployment rate in the last quarter century. So you know, still got some tightness running through the labour market there. But overall this week, the data is starting to shift towards fears of recession are probably going to disappear pretty quickly, I think, over the next month or two. And you've got central banks easing. It's not often we get easing monetary conditions into what is a very rare soft landing. So that's what's giving quite a deal of impetus to growth assets at present.